Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Eddie, our pleasure right now to welcome it. I didn't realize he went to Alvin Community College. Goodness. Mike Stanton, longtime reliever, as I glance at your baseball reference page, just for kicks. Alvin Community College, Alvin is home of Nolan Ryan. Look at that.
Yeah, that's where I was drafted out of. But I'm the lucky one here. Two of my most favorite people in the whole world.
Hey.
I'm on with. Goodness gracious. Hey,
hey,
how
wait,
you
no,
doing,
no.
man?
No, no, it's
I'm
Sweeney
good,
and Ed.
Mike, I'm good. Good to
it's
talk
Sweeney
to you.
It's Sweeney and
man.
Ed, not Mike and the Mad Dog.
oh, my bad.
How you been, Mike?
I'm doing just fine, man. It is definitely summer down here in the greater Houston area. I think it was only about 100 today, but hey, oof. You know what? That's sometimes you got to pay for the heat.
That's right. Are you okay? That is one of the hot spots, Florida, Texas, California. You okay down there? You all right?
Yeah, we haven't had any issues whatsoever. Knock on wood. We've been blessed. There's a lot of it around down here, but we're hanging in there, and like I said, we've been blessed, and everybody's been healthy.
Hey,
how about you guys?
Yeah, no, we've been good. We've been good up here so far, and New York has calmed down, so hopefully it'll stay that way start to lower around the country. I wanted to ask you, though, because I know you do some work with him, and that's Art. Art Howe, who was hospitalized a while back, but is Art doing okay? Have you talked to him?
Yeah, as far as I know, he is doing just fine. Yeah, he was hospitalized for a little while, but I think he wasn't in there. I want to say a week, maybe a little bit less than a week, and he's recovered, he's recuperated, everything seems to be fine with Art, as far as I know.
Good.
And you guys doing the Astros pre and post, and you guys started this calendar year thinking that one topic was going to be front and center for you doing Astros games, and well, that's kind of back burner now, isn't it? I mean, because mostly, I know the other teams haven't forgotten it, and the players in the other teams are kind of ticked off, and maybe that'll still be an issue if you start seeing chin music, but the fan reaction is obviously going to be zero.
That is true, but I don't think that's going to affect these guys. Most of this team is a veteran team, and even if the fans were in the stands, there would be some boos, but you know what, they've been getting booed the last couple of years just simply because they've been good teams. I don't know if you guys remember, but our commissioner actually made a statement back before we went in lockdown and everything that he was not going to let the Astros be thrown at a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that, it's one thing, to be in a spring training camp, be in front of all your boys in the locker room, and you can talk tough then. It's another thing to stand out there 60 feet away from a grown man holding a big stick and say, I'm going to hit you with this little baseball.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It is a fair point. You know, I Dusty was on a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to him, Mike, and I mentioned this to him, whether it could turn around the other way. There are some feisty guys on the Astros, Bregman, Springer, et cetera. And, can you use that to your advantage, the animosity that comes, towards the team, be it from fans or other teams and that? Can you turn that around and say, hey, okay, you want to be that way? We'll show you. We'll show you how good we are. Can they do that?
Ed, it's a great point. Absolutely they can. you know, that was one of the things I said way back when this was happening. There's a chance that this actually turns into a galvanizing force for this team, and it makes them even stronger. That is not exactly what the American League, well, Major League Baseball wants to hear. But, you know, yeah, this can bring a team even closer together, even though, you know, what happened happened. But, you know, when you have, you know, the me against the world mentality is one thing. But when you have a team that is me against the world mentality, that's a completely different animal, and it can absolutely affect you in a positive way going forward.
We're talking with Mike Stanton. Mike, I didn't think it was the lines were not clearly drawn, pitchers versus position players, as far as the reaction. But I remember feeling, you know, the pitchers spoke out very strongly because they're the aggrieved parties. You know, when spring training first began, who reports first? Pitchers and catchers, right? So the first week of spring training, all the stories are everybody's mad at the Astros. Well, of course they are, because it's only pitchers and catchers in camp. They're the ones who are hurt by sign stealing the most. You know, they're the ones whose house was robbed.
Right.
But, I mean, listen, you're a former pitcher. Did you take it in that same regard? Like, did you look at it as something personal when you felt someone was trying to steal your signs, or when you thought they had your pitches?
Did I take it personal? Yeah, probably. But it never really got, you know, the funny thing about this is, you know, in a situation like this, and you've heard from former players of all different teams, you know, through the decades, of how, you know, sign stealing is a, you know, it's a big part of the game. I mean, you know, there's supposedly right ways to do it, and there's wrong ways to do it. But, and, you know, I've been involved in some bench clearing brawls because of these type situations. But, you know, it never got that big only because if I thought somebody was stealing signs, it's pretty simple to change the signs. Instead of, you know, using that as a crutch, I actually tried to use it as more of a driving force to make myself better, do what I needed to do. And even if you guys know what my approach was. I really didn't care if you knew what was coming or not. I was still going to get you out. That was just kind of my hard-headed approach to the game.
Yep. Yeah, you were always that way, and I think it served you pretty well because you pitched for 19 years. So
yeah.
Well, there was a time with the Yankees that that I was actually tipping my pitches.
Okay.
And okay. I didn't find out until like halfway through the season, and when I did find out, I was tipping my curveball, and a player that had played in another organization had come up to me. He had been with the minor league team. He had been with AAA team with the Yankees, and then he got called up. And he goes, "Yeah, we had your pitches." And you know, I made a couple little changes, but my approach was still, and it was my curveball. So whenever I threw my curveball, I did a certain thing, and all my other pitches, I did something else. So they knew what my curveball was. But I was so hard headed and so, I guess, cocky, if you want to say it that way, that, you know what? If I threw a good curveball, you're not going to hit it anyway.
You know what? Just for point of interest or point of order, what was it? Was it glove? Were you flipping the glove?
It was my glove. Yeah,
that's what.
Yeah, I was tilting my glove one way for the curveball, and then everything else, I tilted a different way. And I actually used to have my finger out of my glove, and so that was like a big indicator that was telling you my curveball was coming. So I called Wilson. That's who I have my glove contract with. Mm-hmm. We covered my finger, and you know, I thought about it a little while, but after that it was like, okay, whatever, here it is, hit it.
That's pretty cool. I like that. Mike Stanton is our guest here. You know, Mike, you had seasons of 80-plus appearances, many of 70-plus appearances in that. Obviously, 60 games this year, it's different. How does that affect the relievers, the bullpens, this year as far as usage and getting from point A to point B at the end with 60 games?
You know, Ed, if this was my generation, I think it would affect it. I think with the way these organizations take care of their relievers now, I mean, we don't see guys go 3 days in a row. I mean, even the really short reliever guys, we don't see them go 3 days in a row, maybe a couple times a year. I mean, there's teams out there that don't let any of their relievers go 3 days in a row. Now, would this be a year that maybe that's different? Maybe a little bit. But I just think that with how all these organizations try and, you know, keep everyone healthy, keep everyone on the top of their game, I don't think it's really going to have that big of a difference. I know there's been a lot of talk about starting pitching. Starting pitching is going to be so far behind, and I don't think the pitching is going to be much different at all, because the reliance on bullpens has been paramount for, what, the last 4, 5, 6 years, maybe even more than that? I mean, starting pitchers just don't go that deep. Yeah, when you have, you know, when you got a DeGrom or a Verlander or something, yeah, those guys are going to go, they're going to go, you know, well over 200 innings. But you got to remember, who led the National League in innings last year? Well, it was Strasburg at like 213. You know, that's not really that big of a number. I mean, it's a great season for him, but it's really not that crazy of a number. And so I don't think the pitching is going to be that much different than what we saw from 2019.
Interesting.
Is it true that in like 91, 92, when you were with the Braves, that you were tipping pitches by which way your mullet was facing?
Oh, wow.
Could have been. I was also talking to myself right then, so you might have just been able to do a little lip reading.
It's fun watching these games when they show the classic games from the Twins
World
Series.
The mullet was outstanding.
Man, you had an 80 mullet game in the early 90s. It was great.
Was it a Billy Ray Cyrus type? Was it that good?
Was it?
Okay, Billy Ray Cyrus type? Okay, good.
Yeah,
I gotta go back
especially there with playing in Atlanta, you know, it's hot and it was all stringy. Yeah, it was perfect.
Hey, listen, we were talking earlier at the top of the show, Mike, how much, you know, I've watched Garrett Cole through a couple of intra-squad games, and it's so much fun watching him compete in even intra-squad games. You got to watch him up close the last couple of years in Houston. Mm-hmm. Your perspective on what it's going to be, like, I'm just looking at saying, boy, it's going to be fun watching him pitch 12 times this year. And I know it's only 12 and not 30, but what's your perspective on watching the competitor that we're going to see in this short season, knowing what you know about the Yankees, the environment, and the expectations?
Absolute stud. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in just the raw stuff. And the crazy thing is, and unfortunately you guys aren't going to be able to get in the clubhouse and get to know him. Mm-hmm. He is a big-time baseball nerd. Okay, Yeah, he is always trying to figure out, you know, what is the approach? How would you face this guy? How would you face that guy? And it's really, he'll kind of ask anybody that he has any respect for. But you know what? What's crazy about him is the velocity is just ridiculous. I mean, he carries 98 all day long. It doesn't matter if it's the first pitch or 120th pitch. But the effort in his delivery looks like, man, he's out there throwing batting practice, and then the ball just explodes out of his hand. You know, it was fun to watch him and then, you know, JV, Justin Verlander last year, go back to back, because JV would throw hard too. Now JV is obviously much older, but you know, JV is a max effort. He looks like he's throwing hard, and Garrett, man, the ball just comes out of his hand so easy. And then you mix in the curveball and slider. I mean, there's a reason why he got the contract. He's the best pitcher in the game. He's in his heyday, and I think he's going to do this. He takes great care of himself, so I think the velocity, it may come down in a couple years.
Sure,
but this is going to be a guy that's going to be able to do it for a while because of the command of the off-speed stuff.
That's great to hear. You know, Sweeney and I were talking a little bit about that before, that it's great to see guys like that, and Jacob DeGrom, who I get to watch on a regular basis too, you know, who could, and again, they're not going to do this because of the type of people that they are, but you could throw your hat out there every now and then and just kind of, okay, you know, here's another game, I'm going to go get it. But they don't, you know? They get ticked off when there are base runners, you know? Even if they go out there and pitch 7 innings of 3-hit, 1-run ball, you know, they get ticked off, and how can I do it better the next time? It's great to see guys like that, you know, who really put in the time and the effort, you know?
You're going to see Garrett walk off the mound after having a dominant inning, and he's going to be talking to himself because he didn't make a pitch that he thought he should have made, or, you know, the ball leaked back over the plate, or the breaking ball stayed in the zone when it wasn't supposed to be in the zone. And that's the perfectionist that he is. he was a pleasure to watch, man. He really was. And then getting to know him, and just his work ethic and just how much he loves. I mean, we hear it all the time that, you know, this guy's the ultimate competitor. You know, that really is who Gerrit Cole is. This dude just loves to compete, and he's got a drive to go out there and be the best every time he takes them out.
I just found it fascinating that how much he likes talking about pitching with anybody. So that, yeah. He was geeking out with me about, you know, I've told the story on the air. At his introductory press conference, I said to him, hey, A.J. Burnett told me that he taught you his curveball. And Cole's eyes lit up, and he said, oh, yeah, well, I used to hold it like this, and instead of now I hold it like that. He showed me that. And we had a drill with an L screen. It was me, him, AJ, and Charlie Morton, and we tried to nick the top of the L screen after standing far away. And he's geeking out with me. He's like, dude, I can't throw a curveball. I just, you know, it was just a nice line to tell him that, hey, you know, AJ said hi, and I wanted to just kind of, you know, give him that. And
right.
And when I left, I thought if he can do that with me, imagine what he's like in the room with 11 other pitchers, 12 other pitchers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he taught – the interesting thing about him is, you know, in between innings, I was not a talker. You know, I sat on the bench. I tried to keep an even keel, keep my mind on what's coming up. But as soon as he puts his glove down, man, he's looking for the catcher. He's talking to the pitching coach. He's talking to the other pitchers. He is talking all the time, and that's what it's about. You know, it's about – you know, what happened that inning? What's going to happen next inning? What did you see? And, you know, he's just got one of those analytical brains that is able to absorb all that. And that's not something that a lot of guys have. I mean, you know, one of the things about major league players, you know, professional athletes, period, is your type A personality, man. You know what you're doing, and no one's going to tell you any different. Well, Gerrit Cole, man, he's going to listen to you. He's going to, you know, he's going to take notes. Now, he may not do it, but he's at least going to consider whatever you're saying, and it really doesn't matter. Like you said, it really doesn't matter who it is. That's just who he is, man. He loves to talk, live baseball.
Astros broadcaster Mike Stanton, a former major league pitcher, 19 years in the books for him with the Yankees and the Mets and other teams as well. You know, Mike, we talked about Cole and DeGrom and Scherzer, you know, the horses. You've got a horse there with Verlander, who had groin surgery back in back in March, and it sidelined him. But I've heard he's okay. Where is he now, and is he probably good to go opening day for the Astros?
As far as I know, he absolutely is. I mean, he's healthy. He was throwing bullpens. He had healed up, gone through his throwing program was throwing bullpens before they went to this summer camp that they're in now. So I don't think there's going to be any restraints whatsoever. Now, I don't know if they're going to allow him to go out and throw, you know, even 100 pitches, much less 110 or something like that. But, right. Yeah, no, I think he actually has been saying how he is healthy now, that he had made some mechanical changes that kind of out of necessity with this groin issue he was having. Even though he had a great season last year, you know, he felt like his mechanics were kind of all over the place. And it's kind of scary to think that even in his mid-late 30s, that he could actually be better now because he's healthy. So we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, he seems to be good to go.
Do I stand corrected? Was he the Cy Young Award winner last year? I think was that.
I think there was a trophy that he got somewhere. Yeah, what was okay. It November, December?
That and now like he's healthier.
An old
now,
look out, getting better.
Yeah, now he's healthier. Okay, that's not good news for hitters. Okay.
Hey, Mike. Logistically
but that's the
speaking,
scary part is because he thinks he can be better after the season he had last year.
Wow. Well, that's the thing about I've had this discussion with people when they say they talk about hitters a lot, like why don't they volunteer to get dropped down in the order because they're not as good as they used to be, or you know, pitchers, why do they insist on keep doing, you know, it's hard to tell a great player he's no longer great, and you don't want him to. You always want him to think that greatness is coming back, even if Verlander starts losing a step. You still want him to think that he is that good because that's what's getting him past everything, right?
Well, Sweeney, the thing about it is you could tell him all you want, but chances are he ain't gonna listen.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of why, that's part of what makes those guys as good as they are is, you know, even if they're outwardly humble, I said it earlier, even if they're outwardly humble, they're inwardly cocky. You know, I think that's one of the things, especially closer towards the end of my own career, was, you know, I still felt like I could go out there and throw 95. I wasn't throwing anywhere close to that, but I also felt like it didn't matter what I was throwing, I was going to dominate the hitter. Now, didn't happen as much as I would like it to, but that was still the mental approach to it. That was that mental edge that I think, you know, the great ones, the great starting pitchers have, but the good relievers, I think they have to have it also. You can't go, you can't be a guy out there questioning your stuff or second guessing your decisions and expect to be successful.
You know, but Mike, to me, that was also like with Derek Jeter. That when you're talking about outwardly humble, inwardly cocky, that was Derek Jeter. And when people would say, like, why doesn't he volunteer to drop down out of the batting order? Because he's not looking at a big picture. He believes his next at bat, he is just as good a hitter as he was in 99 and 2000. And that's the cockiness that you have to take. That's what's made you this successful. If that goes away, you might as well just go home.
Yeah, that's what made Derek Jeter, and you know, the list is endless of the great players, the Hall of Famers, that's the case. You know, as soon as you get that little inkling of, well, can I still do this? That's when, you know, whether you played 1 year or 25 years, that's when it's time to hang it up. And I listen, to this day, I still think I can get somebody out. No, I'm not going to blow anybody out, but blow anybody away. But, you know, I still think that I could toe the rubber and get somebody out right now.
Well, if it's me or Eddie in the box, I'm sure that's possible.
Well, so you lasted that. Listen, if you have self-doubt or you allow that to creep in, then, you know, it's not going to work, okay? It's not going to happen. And, you know, you never – I can imagine there were probably a lot of bullpen coaches over the years with you, and you know, they're saying, Mike, you really don't have too much today, and you go, oh yeah, I'll go out and show you. That's you know, I'll work.
Oh, there were times that I said it.
Yeah, really.
That I knew I was in the bullpen. It was my third or fourth day in a row, maybe my fifth day in a week or something. Right. And I mean, I am absolutely tossing salad. I have, but you know what? I still had a job to do. Maybe that was the day that I was going to throw a whole lot of curveballs and splits or something. But you know, you still have to go out there and have a job. And that was one of the things that Joe Torre always said. You know, our motto was, we play today, we win today. That was it. Nothing else. Nothing fancy. But the whole idea was, and I think that a lot of managers this year are going to have to take this same urgency, you know, type motto that you can't give away wins. But that's how Joe worked it. You know, if you need a day off, tell me you can't pitch.
Right.
Because if you tell me you can pitch, you very well may pitch.
Well, Eddie and I were talking about this earlier. I think, you know, there's obviously an urgency to a 60-game season, but there, you know, you also have to give the players a little bit of time to get into their rhythm. You can't overreact to the first week or 2 weeks. You don't. I mean, you just don't want to fall too far behind. But the real urgency, I think, is going to come in September. As long as you're still within a couple of games, you can't overreact to what's happening in late July, early August.
Well, you know the old statement, the old saying that, you know, you can't win the pennant in August or in April, but you can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, obviously that's you know, three times as much since we have, you know, we're playing basically a little more than a third of a season. And I think that's going to tell you the truth. What we're going to do here is, and there does need to be some urgency, because if one of these teams, and we're probably going to see it, you know, has maybe just a seven game losing streak, or, you know, they lose 7 of 9 or something like that, that's going to knock them out.
Yeah, that's tough.
And that's why the importance of a guy like Gerrit Cole, like Justin Verlander, like DeGrom, you know, that's the importance of those guys, that they can go out and not just give your team a chance to win, they can go out and dominate an opponent and keep you from having those long losing streaks. You know, when it's 162, okay, we can deal with that. 60, no chance.
Yep. They're good. Nice to have a horse that you can
That's right.
No question. Mike, there was a staff member who was exposed to COVID down there with the Astros. I guess he got it from an individual outside the organization, but I know the pitchers didn't go today, and Brent Strom, I guess, wasn't there as well. Is there any worry about that prolonging, or is that something that the Astros can get back at it this week?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that there, it doesn't seem like they're overly concerned about it. It was precaution. Okay. And, you know, with all this protocol, everything that all these teams are doing, I think it would be naive by, you know, the fan base, the media, even the organizations themselves to think that this was going to go off without a hitch, that there wasn't going to be some hiccups. Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to figure out exactly how all this is going to work. But the Astros in particular, they're okay. They're gonna, you know, the players will still be ready to go. But same thing I've said the whole time is, you know, that protocol, pamphlet that they put out, the 100+ pages, whatever, right. It could be 1,000 pages. It doesn't matter, because what it's really going to be up to, it's going to be up to the discipline of the players and the front office members and even the players' families themselves that are going to be with the player, that they're going to have to, I don't want to say quarantine, but they're going to have to try and keep a closed culture. They're going to have to pay attention to who they're hanging out with. And you're not going to be able to, you know, I'm tired of this hotel room, I'm going to go out and get lunch today. They're not going to be able to do that. They're going to have the discipline. And luckily, it is only for a couple months. It's not for a full season.
See, that's where they need you in uniform, because you kept everybody in line when you were on the team. You know?
Usually joking, but yeah, if there was something to be said, there were a couple times I'd get the mad eyebrows.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's also pretty easy for you to stay in your hotel room with a giant suite you got everywhere you went. probably pretty cool digs, huh?
Not bad. And what's funny is I never, that was something, and really the only time I had it was actually with the Mets.
Yeah.
And what was crazy was Steve Phillips threw that in. We didn't even ask for that.
No kidding. Do you thank him on the radio all the time now?
I was like one of his last players to for him to sign before he got fired. So, yeah, I bring that up to him all the time.
It was the fruit plate and the sweet that really put it over the edge, wasn't
it? That was the final straw. That was the final straw.
You're
sweet. I did it right there.
That's fantastic. Hey, Eddie and I were just, we got another 2 minutes here, but Eddie and I were remarking before you came on about your 2005, and he said, wow, you pitched for the Yankees, Nationals, and Red Sox.
Like, I forgot the Red Sox.
Well,
yeah,
the Red Sox, yeah. It was, you pitched for the Red Sox before in 96, spent a whole year there, but you got the Yankees in 05, this is the year that Aaron Small went 10-0, and the Yankees and Red Sox were going down to the wire. They traded for you just for those final three games of the season.
Last four games, last 4 days of the season, but it was a three-game series, a weekend series. And if you remember what happened, the Cleveland Indians, they like didn't win a game for the last like 2 weeks of the season. I mean, they kind of completely fell apart. At the beginning of that week, the way it was set up was whoever won the East would go to the playoffs. Whoever lost was going home.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and the rumor has it, that Jim Bowden was the GM for the Nationals at the time, that he kind of pitted the Yankees and the Red Sox against each other. This is the rumor. And right before the trade happened, 24 hours before the trade happened, I thought I was going back to the Yankees.
Oh, wow.
So they had released me, but they were bringing me back for the Red Sox series over the weekend, and end up flipping over. And, you know, Bowden, general manager of the year, got two low-level prospects for, you know, basically 3 days. And I pitched one inning, and they have made the Red Sox made the playoffs anyways. But, that was a little bit of a different situation than I had ever seen before. And that was also the year, my first outing for the Reds, walk-off balk.
Oh, no kidding.
That was a walk-off balk.
Wow. That's one you don't forget.
Seen everything. Right there.
Oh, man. Well, I told Eddie, I said, I remember after that series, I was going back to New York. I had to grab my stuff and go fly to California because the Yankees were starting against the Angels. And I saw you in the airport because you said, yeah, I got to go back to D.C. and get my stuff. I only packed for the weekend.
Cause I was done because I couldn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I met the guys, and then a couple of days later, during their celebration, you know, they're doing the champagne thing, and I'm trying to go catch a flight. I mean, I'm my head's behind the the tarps trying to get all my stuff together and get out to the airport because, you know, I had a flight in like 45 minutes.
That's wild. Yeah. That's great. Hey, Mike, good to hear your voice. Great talking to you tonight. Stay healthy down there, and hopefully we get this off the ground and get to October as well, too. We'll see.
That's what we're hoping for, and you know, there's some hiccups going on right now, but hopefully everybody can keep their noses down, keep the nose to the grindstone, all those good sayings, and get this thing to get them back on the field and see who can win a World Series. But you guys stay safe. And again,
we'll try.
Two of my favorite people in the Northeast, you two.
Thanks, Michael. It's always good to
talk to you.
Maybe we'll do this again or do a Zoom together or something before this is all said and done.
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks,
Michael. See you, Mike. Thanks.
Mike Stanton. You can hear him on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio, and he does Astros pre and post. And, hey, maybe the Yankees and Astros are destined for an October meeting again, and we get a chance to talk to Mike again.
Who knows? You never know, as they say.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!